Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? To worship, praise Him, give Him all the glory. I just want to put a plug in for Umcore. If you're not familiar with that, that's what Jeff was talking about all the buckets. And they don't just do buckets, and they don't just do health supplies and things like that. When there's a tragedy, they go in there and they begin to counsel people. And I don't know if you know it, but on 9/11, the last organization to leave Ground Zero was the United Methodist Committee on Relief. We are so blessed to have that and so blessed to be a part of that as a connectional church. I have to give you a warning this morning. I've never preached here before, so a lot of you don't know what I do when I preach. Some reason the Lord made me, when I preach, I cry sometimes. If you've been in a Wednesday night group with me or a Sunday night group, you've seen it, and you know I also have one of these. If I don't have this and I don't have the Holy Spirit, I need to sit down and let somebody else speak. So I hope if that bothers you, you can just get by it today and let the Lord take care of it for you. Okay? I'm going to share today from Acts chapter 16. If you have your swords with you, you can open them up. I'm not going to put it on the monitors because I'm reading from the New King James Version, and we don't have that in our program. And for me, sometimes I know it's confusing to try to hear somebody read from one version and you're trying to read from another and get something out of it. So if you have your Bibles and you want to read along in your version, that's fine. But either way, we're going to work with Acts 16:25 today. And I want to set this scripture up for you. Paul and Silas were ministering in Jesus' name. They were going around and sharing the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. And Paul got tired of listening to a young slave girl who had the spirit of divination, and she was going around telling fortunes, and her masters were making money from it. And she was always hollering out and talking about these men being Jews. They're coming in the name of the Lord to know how to know Him. And Paul got tired of it. And the exact reference is in verse 17. It says, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Guess what? The spirits know who Jesus is. They know. And so Paul got tired of it, so he cast that spirit out of this young servant girl. And all of a sudden, these masters of the girl had no form of income. And they were really upset. And so they got Paul and Silas, and they dragged them into the marketplace and brought them before the magistrate and said that these men being Jews, they're causing exceeding trouble in this city because they're saying things that are not of Rome. And so the magistrate had them beaten and thrown in prison. And verse 24 says, "Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fasten them in the stocks." Now, the stocks can be interpreted many different ways, and as we go down the scripture, we'll see that it talks about chains instead of stocks. So it can be a lot of different things. So let's look at verse 25. We pick it up here. Paul and Silas are in prison. By the way, Silas is mentioned about five times in the New Testament. You don't hear a lot about him. But when Paul and Barnabas broke off and went different ways in ministry, then Silas went with Paul, and they began to minister. Verse 25 says, "At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." You ever had a big problem? You ever been sick? When's the worst time? Deep in the night, It's the hardest time. When the morning comes, the sun comes up, you always feel a little better anyhow. But the hardest time is at midnight. And so here's Paul and Silas deep down in this prison. And by the way, I don't anybody ever been to the Robertson or county jail? I have. Those places are five-star hotels compared to what they were in. They were down in the ground in the cold and in the wet, and the rats running around, the spiders and all kinds of things. It wasn't a good thing. But they were there at midnight. And they were singing hymns and they were praying. Hymns basically means, out of the Greek translation, sing a religious ode, or to celebrate God in song, to sing praise unto God. And so we see Paul and Silas in this hole in the ground, and they don't know if they're ever going to get out. Can you imagine if it was, if it was me, I'd say, God, what's the deal? I've been doing what you wanted to do, and I'm in prison. You ever feel that way? You're doing what you think you ought to do, and things go wrong, and you say, what? Do you praise God? Sing hymns? You know, the hymns they were singing were probably psalms, because most of the psalms, if not all, were made to be sung. And here they are, praising God, just like you did this morning, just like we've been doing. In the midst of this mess, not knowing if they're ever going to get out. And it says then, so we don't know if it was that night or a week later or a month later, how long they've been in there. You know, for me, I'd prefer to think about it just for myself as being 3 days, because we see what's going to happen. If you don't get anything else from this today, get this test question my professor in college used to do. He'd stamp his foot and he told us that was a test question. Circumstances should never determine whether or not you praise God. God is the same when Silas and Paul were in prison and can do the same things that he did when they weren't. And guess what? He can even take their time in prison. Romans says all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and called according to his grace. They can take this prison time and they can save a family. That's the kind of God we serve. I want to give you an example of what I'm talking about. It may sound a little harsh to you. We've had friends for years. About 20 years ago, she came down with cancer for the second time. They couldn't do anything. Took her home. They knew time was short. It was between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we were in their home. We had a Bible study group. We got together on Thursday nights, a large group of us for 6 or 7 years. And I was with him in the living room, Christmas tree in the corner. She's out in the den. And I said, my friend, something like this, it's going to be a sad Christmas, or it's going to be a hard Christmas. And you know what he said? What he said was, the reason that we celebrate Christmas has not changed. And I had to think about that a while. But he's right. God stays the same. He's no different. He's there to help. He's there to get us through it. So when we have a problem, he either gets us over it, around us, under it, or through it. He doesn't always take it away. 3 months later, she was with the Lord. But we all celebrated Christmas because the reason for the celebration hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. My friends, don't let circumstances keep you from trusting in the Lord. One of the scriptures that I like that parallels this is in Proverbs 3:5-6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And if, as we look at the scripture, you'll see that happen. So here's Paul and Silas there in prison. Don't know how long they're going to be there. And they're praising God. And when we do that, we are proclaiming that we trust in him no matter what's going on in our lives. No matter what. Because he is the great God and we are his people. Finally, it says the prisoners were listening to them. You know what, my friends? If you're known in any way as going to church and or being a Christian, people are listening to you. People are watching you. Your life matters for the witness of Christ in this world, because we are his witness. We're it. People are listening. Young people back there, you got a tough time at school. I know kids can be hard on you, but they're listening to see if you're going to stand up for what you say you believe. And if you're faithful to God, he will be faithful to you. Verse 26 says, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Oh, great coincidence, right? In our house, it's a God incidence. You see, they were faithful to God, and now God is faithful to them. One of the things I always said in preaching was, faith requires action. And their action was to proclaim their trust in God and sing praises to him, praying that they trusted they knew him. And so there was an earthquake. Okay, all right, let's just assume it's a coincidence and there's an earthquake. And we know that things change, the ground shakes. I don't know if you have a door in your house. Sometimes it's hard to open, sometimes it isn't. We do. The earth changes. The doors fly open. That makes sense. Who loosed the chains? Who loosed the chains? The earthquake? No. God was present there. His power overcame the stocks, the chains, and set them free. I don't know who here is in prison today because of depression, loneliness, sorrow, confusion, needing a job, whatever it is. That thing does not have the last word. Jeff said, the name that is above every name. My friends, the name Jesus is above depression, discouragement, above sorrow. It does not have the last name Jesus, the last word Jesus does. And we can trust in that. And we can begin in the midst of our difficulties to praise God and to show him that we trust in him. I'll just tell you, one of my verses that I hang on to and that I pray I can live is when Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel. We have a God that's above all gods, name above every name, and we can trust in him no matter what your prison is. And when you begin to praise God and to declare your trust in him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, he's going to direct your paths. What better great news is there than that? Amen? Amen. 27, the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Now, the custom there is if people in prison get out, the guy that was supposed to keep them there will end up being tortured and probably killed. by the authorities because he didn't do his job. And that keeper of the prison knew that. And he didn't want to go through all that, so he was going to kill himself. Because if you're in prison and the doors open up, what are you going to do? You're going to leave. 28 says, but Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And then he, being the guard, called for a light, ran in, fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. He'd been hearing too. He'd been hearing them singing and praising God. And his heart was changed. He was going to be twice saved. I was twice saved myself. Twice, once saved in Vietnam, and again, my soul was saved when I got home. Praise God. So this jailer, we'll see, was twice saved. Paul says to him, he called in a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm, for we're here. And then he called for the light, and the jailer came in, and he fell down, and he brought them out. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Have you ever been close to death? I have. I know some other people that have. You have a different outlook on life when you get in that position. You begin to understand the importance of life and the reality of death. And you realize what your need is. And you see, we can't ever come to the Lord unless we know what our need is. Unless we know that we can't do it, but He can. And so he said to them, what must I do to be saved? And so they said to him, well, they gave him 18 steps, right? If you do all these things, then God will save you. If you be good. No, that's not the way grace works, is it? So they said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. Now, he probably said a few more things. I think of Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the tongue, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The jailer took them. I'm not going to go on because we don't have time. You can read the rest of the story. I'll tell you just briefly. The jailer took them into his own home. He tended their wounds. He fed them. Gave them a place to stay. And the whole family was saved. So, what situation are you in today? What are the prison bars that are trying to keep you imprisoned? Harless asked me if I was going to name the sermon. I said I didn't have a name. He said, well, if you were, what would you name it? And I said, praise, trouble for your trouble. When you got a problem, somebody or something is causing that problem. Might be you, might be somebody else. And when you begin to praise, that starts to cause a problem for the thing that's trying to get you down. And God becomes faithful and he works in your life and he begins to open up ways and open up things. He may not change what the situation is. My friend's wife died. He didn't change that. But he got our friend through it. First of all, because he knew she loved the Lord and she would be with him forever. Don't get discouraged when God doesn't change the situation. If you trust in Him, He will give you a different way to deal with it and to handle it until He does take care of it. Okay? We have a God we can trust in all situations. So I'll say it again. Depression, sickness, sorrow, lack of job, finances, discouragement, self-image. None of those things have a final say because we serve Jesus, the name above every name. If we will praise Him, He will begin things to be in motion. In the Old Testament, it says, God inhabits the midst of His praise, and He begins to do His work. I don't know anything that's better news than that today, because no matter where you are, you can trust in Him and begin to walk free. He'll tear the bars down. He'll rattle the doors, take off the chains. He'll give you a life of freedom. I've talked to men in jail who said they're freer in jail than they were ever were outside, because they knew the Lord, and that's true freedom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That's good news. Whatever situation you're in, the other question, you have lots of questions when you get in a problem, don't you? Here's one that I suggest that you always ask. Lord, in the midst of this mess, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to do because of it that'll glorify you? What do you want me to know? Speak to me so that I can glorify you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. This morning we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving, the Last Supper. And it's a reminder for us that what God did through His Son Jesus allows me to stand up here and say today, you can be set free. You can get through it with the power of God. Praise Him. Praise Him always and trust in Him. Remember how it happened. And we're going to remember that today as we join together in the communion of the saints. Amen. Amen.